Welcome to the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Callie Klug, and I am a yoga teacher and somatic practitioner in Southern California. Your Own Medicine podcast was really created with this idea and this intention of bringing knowledge to you to access the medicine within you and within your own body. So thank you for listening. Let's go. What's up? What's good? Welcome to this episode of the Your Own Medicine podcast. This is kind of a special little episode because it's the anniversary of getting burned at the stake last year, which was a super terrifying experience. I've done lots of somatic work on this, and I like to think I'm largely have processed a lot of it, but it is something that still feels alive in my body. So when I talk about it, you might notice that in my tone. And I just encourage you that as you listen to this podcast episode, like, be aware of how this lands in your own body. If you start to feel activation in yours, you can notice it, you can be curious about it, you can turn it off, you can ground down. I really was very intentional about not making this a very activating episode, but I just feel like mentioning it because this, at the end of the day, is we're working in the realm of somatic. So what better way to, you know, something that Luis Mojica says a lot in holistic life navigation is, you know, being triggered, or our triggers or our activation, it's not something we need to avoid. It's something that it offers us a lot of insight. And so as you are experiencing this episode, just stay connected to your sensations, to requests from your body to pause, slow down, keep listening, whatever it is. And, enjoy. All right, see you later. Good morning. It's morning here. I have wanted to make this one for a long time, but I'm scared because it was so shit to go through that experience, like, truly. And sometimes I notice when I talk about it, I still experience activation, because, yeah, it was just bad. And I think there's a part of me that's actually still, like, scared of that happening again, of getting canceled again. It's traumatic. I feel so much for everyone who, for everyone who has, you know, some kind of, whatever it is, misunderstanding on social media, or maybe they did say something fucked up. But I genuinely believe 99% of the time, the punishment does not fit the crime with people. Like, I don't even like using the terminology getting canceled. I feel like that's not even, like, an accurate wording to what happens. It's really like a witch hunt. It's like people just have this, like, pre-existing activation in their body that is, like, surging through their veins. And there's, I think, a deep sense of belonging that people find. Maybe not that deep, because I think if it was a true sense of belonging, you wouldn't have to tie people up on the cross. But I think there's a lot that people gain from being a part of this kind of culture where you create an us versus them mentality, super black and white, and this really interesting delusion of bringing justice through spreading hate, basically. It's so... it just doesn't make sense. Like, 1 + 1 = 4. It's like, it's not making sense. It's not adding up. Why would doing these just mass smear campaigns and just hate campaigns, why would that make anyone want to change their behavior from an authentic place. My whole original podcast about this kind of goes into that that concept of, like, and I'm not going to go into that today, but it goes into that concept of, like, when we do this, cancel culture, it creates so much censorship, and it does create behavioral change sometimes, but from a place of fawning and from a place of being traumatized for the person that's receiving all the backlash. It's not a genuine reflection of, oh, I did something wrong, or I want to learn. Because when you have people attacking you in this way, you're not, like, feeling curious. And curiosity is the place that we are in when we are able to, you know, be like, oh, tell me more about this. Tell me more about your experience. And actually, I think that's the state that real change can grow in, because people can, you know, get deeper understanding. But if you're, you know, attacking people and going crazy and threatening them, I don't think that state's available to them. So it's just, it's not effective. And it's very cruel. Like, genuinely, it's very cruel. And like I said, my verbiage around this has changed. I think for a while I said, oh, I got canceled. But I feel like that implied that I did something cancelable. And I think, see, there, I can feel that that disease coming up. And I think that what it actually is so reminiscent of the witch trials that happened in Salem, where it's like, there's just this activation, there's this, like, rewarding that happens when you point fingers. You know, people would point fingers and convict a witch, and you'd be able to, like, take their house and stuff. And I just think it's the same dynamic, and it's so, it's just shitty. But that's kind of my 1 year out perspective from this. And frankly, I felt this way before all of that happened to me. I really was not into cancel culture. And one thing, oh my gosh, let me tell you, it is so hard to not fawn when you are predispositioned as a fawner and you have all these people coming at you. I wanted to fawn so bad. And you know what? I don't know if you guys know Drew. She's like, let me see if I can find her. She's really famous on TikTok. Drew Afualo. I think that's her. Yes, Drew Afualo. She had just gotten canceled. I mean, she has like 7-8 million followers on TikTok, but she had just gotten canceled like days before that whole thing had happened to me, because she was coming out with a documentary about, what was it? I think it was about queerness. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was a lot of backlash from a certain community, because they were like, well, you didn't put us in it enough, and they felt like they weren't getting enough representation in her film. And I remember she went on TikTok and did this apology, and she was like, I'm really sorry, I blah blah blah. And I just felt like she was already trying to do a good thing. She wasn't trying to be exclusionary. She was trying to be inclusive, and then it still wasn't enough for certain people, which is fine. Like, everyone can have their, you know, feelings. But ultimately, she did this apology. She, like, issued an apology. And it didn't, like, sit right in my body. It felt so performative. I think she was feeling genuinely, I mean, at that point, I don't know if you're feeling, like, genuinely remorseful about what you did, or if you're just feeling sick to your stomach about everyone sending you hate comments. But But yeah, I mean, it didn't land right for me. It felt so performative and fake, and it didn't like feel right. And I remember after everything happened with me, there was a few people that were like, you should apologize, just apologize. And I was like, first of all, I have nothing to apologize for. Like, the story that's going around about me is completely fabricated, so I'm not going to apologize for that. And also, it just didn't, like, it felt so going back to a pattern of behavior that I had been trying to get away from. Like, I had been trying to get away from slowly, right? And maybe that's not the right wording. I'd been trying to become better at speaking truth and you know, connecting to my body and being like, does this feel good? Does this not? And the idea of creating an apology just to get people off my back felt so disgusting. And so like fake, like it's like, I know it's fake. You know, it's fake. I don't think it would have stopped anyone too from, you know, harassing me. But anyway, I just think that's an interesting point on the kind of like behavior that this culture, this like cancel culture and call out culture has cultivated. Like it creates so much fawning and it's icky. Commercial break. If you would like to learn more about ways that you can create capacity to be disliked, connect to the capacity to be disliked in your own body, nervous system regulation techniques, parts work to unify those quote bad parts of yourself and really just feel like a more better, confident, villainous, sexy you, I created a on-demand program for you, which is absolutely transformational. Some people have even said it's better than therapy, which I'm like, whoa, okay, I'll take it. So it's called Venom, and it is I believe there's 6 modules, and there's inner teen work, inner villain work. There's 2 whole modules on anger and rage integration, which is huge when you're healing from people from pleasing, and it's really like an entire 101 course in healing from people pleasing. So not only is it video modules, but there's PDFs and audio practices, and it's really, really cool and fun. So, and there's a 30-day money back guarantee. So yeah, you can check that out at the link that I will put in the show notes. And thanks for listening to this commercial break. Okay, so these are, we're moving into like part 2 now. So this is kind of like what I did. And one last note before moving into that, but I was just thinking, because I was listening to Me and Parvati are starting How Villains Are Made tomorrow. But a few weeks ago, she was on a podcast with Dan. Oh my gosh, I can't remember his name, but he was on Traitors with her, and he was one of the traitors, and he was the first traitor that got voted out. And people had really, I think, taken, like, they had overcoupled him as a person with, like, his role as a traitor, and some people were really, like, offended by him. And at the reunion, he was getting, like, dug into and, like, ripped apart and like, by his, like, cast members. And it was brutal. And on the podcast, he said, you know, it was so amazing to have Parv after, you know, that whole experience, because that was a new experience for me. And granted, he's been in the public eye. Like, he won Big Brother. I don't know that much about Dan, but I know he played Big Brother, I think, once or twice, and he won Big Brother. So he's obviously been in the public eye. I assume anyone that's, like, you know, in the public eye in any capacity gets a certain amount of hate comments, because just existing in the world, people will hate you. Isn't that fun? And he was saying, like, this was so hard for me, like, after Traitors. This was really, really hard. And he was explaining how hard it was and how difficult it was and how he was like coming to terms with, you know, like, he's like, am I a bad person? Like, all these things. I'm like, Dan, I fucking see you. And all that to say, it's normal to have a hard time when people don't like you. So we're talking right now about being burned at the stake on the internet, but the macro and the micro are the same exact feelings in the body. And I can tell you that for a fact because I've experienced both, you know? You don't have to be burned at the stake on the internet to practice getting, building your capacity to be disliked. Is it more intense? Yeah, it can be for sure. It's especially depending on how pervasive it is, you know? Like, are they just, you know, is it just confined to one app? Are they sending you emails like people were me? Like, depending on, you know, how pervasive it is. But my point with that is, like, a lot of people ask me questions because I just did a round of asking for suggestions for podcasts. And people are like, how do I not care about what people think? You probably always will. We're, like, biologically wired to want to belong. We're tribal animals. We have, like, body reactions, you know, like, when you are touched or touch someone, oxytocin gets released. Like, we have these bodies that are wired for connection and wired to want to belong. And so when there's tension with someone and when there is, what do you call it? Like, any kind of conflict, or you feel rejected or you feel cast out, there's a certain amount of just natural, it sucks. It just sucks. And a lot of us have overcouplings from our childhood of, like, not only does it suck on a biology level, but then we also have overcouplings that start to tell us, like, maybe stories about it. Like, oh, this person hates me. Everyone hates me. My favorite is, like, all my friends are going to leave me. That's my go-to. Obviously not consciously, but when I'm, like, when I have conflict with one person, that's where my mind goes to. And it's really, it's just normal to have this desire to want to belong. And so when we talk about building resilience to being disliked and building capacity to be disliked in your nervous system, it's not about, like, how can I become immune to this? Because you will never be immune. And that's great. We want to be open. And part of, you know, connection is rupture. That's, like, really natural. I have a whole workshop on that on YouTube. I think it's episode 38, but I'm not sure. It's called Embodied Boundaries. But, like, we don't want to be immune to it, but you want to build resilience in your nervous system. And that's pretty much how you build that capacity to be disliked, is by building a natural resilience, expanding your window of tolerance, expanding your capacity for stress, and then tending to it when there is a rupture with someone. So that means when to create more resilience in your body. Me and Parv are doing this, and we were just planning the lessons for How Villains Are Made. You can do this through breath work. You can do this through through pleasure. And I'm not just talking about sexual pleasure. I'm actually talking about every other pleasure you could get, sitting in the sun, drinking warm tea, being present in these moments that feel good to you and your body, like sleeping in, really getting cozy in the covers. There's, like, that kind of resourcing. So resourcing is anything that, like, fills your body up, and I would even dare to say fills your soul up too. And then we have really practical resourcing. Like, are you eating, you know, enough food? Are you eating the right, quote, right food for your body? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you drinking enough water? Are you, you know, like, taking care of really basic needs? Are you staying off your phone in the morning? Or are you, like, turning over and getting right on social media? So there's certain things that will, like, naturally regulate or dysregulate your body, and these are more like standard. Like, most of our bodies react well to getting enough sleep. Most of our bodies don't react well to getting on our phones right away. Most of our bodies react well to drinking water in the morning with salt to help rehydrate. Most of our bodies don't react well to maybe like having something really sugary in the morning. So I also have a whole workshop on this. It's not my area of expertise, but I have a workshop on it on my YouTube, and it's called nervous system something. I don't know. Nervous system regulation, I think. And also, if you really want to get into that, you can check out Dana Dawsey, because she has so much stuff on that kind of work. But very practical, boring nervous system regulation, and then very fun, pleasurable nervous system regulation. So there's those two that help to build your nervous system's resilience in general. You're building your capacity to tolerate stress. And so there's that. And then also getting really good at tending to it. So when you feel a rupture happen, when you feel a tension happen or whatever it is, I'm going to use the word rupture because I think that's a really good description of anytime there's a kind of tension or issue or something in a relationship, when there's a rupture. And you feel that rupture in your body through the form of sensations, through my stomach clenching up, my chest caving in, nausea, whatever it is. How can you tend to it, like go towards it? Because I know for myself, speak from experience, I think in general too, a lot of us are quite disconnected from our bodies in the West in general. And so when we feel this like feeling, we're like, oh shit, how can I rise above it? Especially, there's different ways people deal with it. How can I rise above it? Through meditation, make it go away. How can I like maybe numb it? That's my personal favorite. Turn on that TV, binge watch, scrolling. How can I numb the feeling? Alcohol, food, whatever it is. We all have our vice. Right now mine's euphoria. Ironic, because it's so about drugs. Anyway, what was I saying? Okay, so we have the sensation, this uncomfortable sensation. How can you instead practice going towards it? And not just going towards it willy-nilly, cuckoo, oh, like da-da-da, but going towards it with time. Like being like, okay, how can I sit with this feeling of discomfort, maybe bringing a hand to it, maybe breathing into it. This is what we go pretty deep into in a lot of my courses. And if you scroll my page or go to my workshops, you will get a lot of examples of this. But just tending to it in that way, and holding those sensations. A lot of times these sensations melt or dissolve on their own. Not always. But a lot of times just being with it for a few moments and giving it space, like be like, because a lot of times we want to like make these sensations feel as small as we can in our body. So we'll like make them smaller and braced, and we create all this tension around them, like on a physiological level, like we're actually bracing in our stomach. What happens if you just let that sensation of anxiety like spread through your belly? Usually when they spread, they dissipate a little bit or a lot of it. So that's, to me, like the two-step recipe on building your nervous system's resilience to be disliked. So going back to my experience of being burned at the stake, it was so shitty. And like I said, there was people not only like at that point, I had deleted my TikTok. I was like, not my profile. Shout out to Rama, one of my friends, because I was literally about to delete my TikTok profile completely, and she convinced me not to. But I deleted the TikTok app. I was on Instagram with comments turned off. But people were so cuckoo that they were sending me emails. They were going to my website, filling out forms on my website, bombing my podcast. It was like for a couple months, they were people like DMing my friends, telling them not to be friends with me. It was crazy. It was like so pervasive. And the first couple weeks after this whole thing happened, and it was really intense, like the backlash was really intense. I got support through therapy, through friends. My community online was fucking amazing. Like, I will never be able to articulate in words how much it meant to have so many people just blindly supporting me. That was just amazing. So if you were one of those people, like, thank you so much. And then I had a lot of support and I was really actively tending to all these sensations. And then after about 2 or 3 weeks and it was still going, I started to get fatigued from the tending and from the, I had a lot of bracing. Like, I work on my phone for work. And so every time I'd look at my phone, I would feel, you know, these, like, this rush of adrenaline and cortisol. Because I was like, what's the next message going to be? And I was really, I started to kind of break down. I was started, my body started experiencing really intense anxiety. Not panic attacks, but anxiety attacks. And this is with all the tools I had too. So if someone like who doesn't have all these tools goes through this, granted, I live in a sensitive nervous system, but it's gnarly. Like, I just, please don't do this to people on the internet. It's just cruel. Whatever you think they did, like, it's just cruel. So what I ended up doing that helped me to get out of this, like, very intense freeze state, was I had a trip planned with one of my good friends, and my friend Tati, and she's a little ray of sunshine embodied, and we went to Big Bear and Yosemite and the Sequoias, and I was so, like, racked with anxiety driving up there. I, like, had a full anxiety attack in our car. It was just not cute. But once we got there, I was just being in nature is so regulating, and I feel like I always forget it, but being in nature is so regulating. Nature's the best co-regulator, especially in summer when you can lounge on the rocks. And we did hiking, spent time with our dogs, we brought our dogs, and it was just amazing. And I felt so good, and we're also microdosing mushrooms, which helps. And we just had such a good time, and after those 2 weeks, I felt, like, completely restored. And the place where I did that, most of that, we were 10 days at Paradise Ranch, which is where we're having this retreat. That's actually, I think, where we came up with the idea for the retreat when we were there last June. But it's just this amazing property where it's, like, glamping tents, and you, like, constantly have the sound of this river that's, like, right, like, 10 steps away. The river's really cold. It's, like, melted ice, but it gets pretty hot up there. So you, like, can go cold plunging, and there's books in all the tents. So you, like, grab a book, and I was reading Agatha Christie, like, murder mysteries, and oh, it's just, like, so delicious and lovely. And we're hosting a retreat there. We have 3 spots left if you're thinking of coming. But yeah. So my point with all that is that it sucks, right? Like, this is, like, literally my job is to, like, help people heal from people pleasing and create nervous system resilience. And it was so hard, like, especially to that level and that intensity and that time length. It was really, really hard. And yeah, but I mean, that's the thing is, like, okay, and one last note and then I'll wrap up. But for me, okay, so I had a few friends who had offered me to make videos, you know, trying to cancel or whatever, like, send people after this girl that made this original video about me. And they're like, well, we can do it. We have the video ready. We just need to press post. And I was like, okay, that it doesn't make sense logically to do that, because it would just perpetuate the, you know, the whole drama, and I wasn't trying to do that. But also it's like fighting fire with fire, and I'm like, okay, let's not. I can fantasize about it, but I didn't want to actually do it. But this is something that I genuinely feel is true for not just this situation, but like past things that have had the same dynamic where I felt smear campaigned or whatever. I really believe this with my whole heart and body, but I think that the best revenge, instead of like looking back and trying to throw the spear back at them, is to live the juiciest, most sexy, delicious, yummy, pleasurable life. Like, I want people, if they had a little like crystal ball, like the people that hate me, like that, whatever, these people on the internet, if they could look into the ball at any moment, I would be like laying out in the sun, looking super hot, thank you very much, having a great time with my partner, eating the most delicious food in beautiful places, laughing. Like, I want that to be the revenge of like, I'm free from your BS. Because I really believe that the karma of just being you is enough. If someone's that miserable that they're gonna add, you know, throw a stone, like, I feel like the karma is instantly repaid because they're just already themselves, and that's punishment enough. So that's how I reconcile those things. And I stand behind that. But yes, so that is my thoughts on this. Hopefully that is somewhat helpful to you. If you have any other questions, you can let me know. I know everyone has different experiences being canceled or, you know, hated on mass scale. Like, if you talk to like reality TV contestants or even actors who have portrayed villains, it's never fun. It's very consistently not fun for people to be disliked. So just know that if you feel that, you are completely normal and natural and in very good company. And yeah, if you want to work with me and Parv, we're starting to craft a new program. It's going to, I think, launch in June. We'll keep you updated, but we have listened to your requests of wanting more TV villains. That's been the number one request. It's like, please have other people on. So we are gathering a team of notorious villains, so you can hear their stories, because like I said, everyone has different experiences. You can hear their stories, you can hear what helped them, how they have grown from these, you know, these periods of being cast as the witch or whatever it is. And so yeah, that one's going to be amazing, and it's going to launch, like I said, in May or June, we're not quite sure, but sign up for my email list and you know, stay current on my page, and you will see when it gets launched. So thank you so much for joining, and if you have any questions, you can always send my Instagram a DM, or you can send my team a email at support@kellysomatics.com. Thank you for joining in. Bye. That's all for today for the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you so much for listening. These episodes do come out pretty sporadically, so if you'd like to be notified each time a new episode comes out, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can always follow my journey along, which I always post when a new episode comes out on my social media, TikTok and Instagram, @KellyKlugYoga. And feel free to keep in touch. You can also check out my website at KellyKlugYoga.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.